Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Richard Lear, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
We are back. My final hour. Richard Lear until 11 o'clock. Lori Rubinson takes over then. We have the law firm of Connor Green and Peter Hoffman at the controls. It's been a long day, long night for them, too. And we're joined now by Ricky Ricardo, who does play-by-play for the Eagles, and, of course, Spanish-language broadcast for the New York Yankees. And I guess that's the next gig because the Eagles are done, Ricky. Something,
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
37 days to pitchers and catchers now, Richard.
Yeah, you can hardly wait a bit. Well, I always thought the Eagles were a gutty team. They were kind of on borrowed time here with all the injuries and everything that happened. And darn if you didn't lose your quarterback nine plays into the game, right?
Yeah, and it's amazing that, you know, after he gets hit by Clowney, the helmet-to-helmet, and suffers what is now we know is a pretty serious concussion, he actually stayed in the game for six more plays and then basically couldn't spell cat. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of this, but it was a pretty serious shot to the head. They put him in the blue tent, and when they figured out this guy needs more than the blue tent, let's take him into the locker room. And from the locker room, from preliminary reports, and I don't want to go out on a limb and report something that I shouldn't, but from what we're hearing is he was taken to the hospital to, you know, that's precautionary to check on him. But, you know, it, unfortunate for a guy like Wentz, who did so much in the last 4 weeks of the season. After the Eagles lost to the Dolphins on December the 1st, they had to win the last four games in order to get into the postseason and hope for some help with the Cowboys losing. They got the help with the Cowboy losses. They had to beat Dallas. They had to beat the Giants twice. They were able to do all of that. And here they are. They're in the postseason with a chance for Carson Wentz to get the monkey off his back. And what I mean by that is everyone in this town, or at least a large segment of the Philadelphia Eagle fan base, has been in Nick Foles' corner against Carson Wentz. And slowly but surely, he was getting that Nick Foles monkey off of his back. And if he would have won at least one playoff game, I think we would have eliminated that for good. And now, again, you have people coming out on all the social media tonight, and, you know, people that are just hating on Carson Wentz, saying, well, you know, this would have been better with Nick Foles anyway, and that kind of talk. Unfortunate for a guy who's had so much bad luck with injuries to get hurt in a game where maybe he could have finally eliminated, gotten that whole monkey off his back.
Well, I was listening to the post game on the radio, and one of the commentators said, well, you know what, if Wentz hadn't gotten hurt, I think the Eagles would have won that game. What do you think? Because I thought that, McCown played pretty well under the circumstances. What do you think?
I thought McCown played very, very well. Now, Richard, the Eagles went into this game with a completely revamped right side of the offensive line, and that, right there, when you look back on the game, there was a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Seven sacks tonight by a Seahawk defense that got, you know, completely beaten up last week by Garoppolo and the 49ers. We're not talking the Legion of Boom Seahawk defense from a few years ago. They've been scored upon at will. Even in games that they have won, the defense has allowed 25, 30 points. It's just that the Yankee second baseman, Russell Wilson, that's how I refer to him. He'll be training camp again.
You wish he was, yeah.
Russell Wilson has been that good, and if it wasn't for the great season of Lamar Jackson, we might be talking about Russell Wilson as the league's MVP. A little bit, you know, maybe slipped up on a couple of occasions late in the year, but up till about week 12, week 13, everybody had Russell Wilson neck and neck with Lamar Jackson for the MVP of the NFL this season. So it wasn't that they were facing the Legion of Boom defense, but they played twice this year. The Seahawks were in Philadelphia week 12, and it was the identical final score, 17-9. Wentz played that entire game and was not very good. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if Carson Wentz had played the, you know, in the game, had not been hurt, that the Eagles would have won, because he didn't show me that he could score on this Seattle defense back in week 12, and he got off to a shaky start here tonight. And give credit to McCown, coming off the bench cold, in this type of situation, I thought that he did a heck of a job and at least gave his team a chance up until the last minute to come away with hopefully, you know, maybe a tie there, 17-9, a touchdown, 2-point conversion ties the game, and who knows if they would have gotten that. What could have happened in overtime, as we saw all weekend in the wild card round.
And you saw him get hurt late in the game. He was limping pretty badly, and you would think if his legs were fresh and okay, he might have evaded some of those sacks and might have made a play. But, the guy was on, his last legs, almost literally.
Yeah, 40-year-old guy. He got hit on several occasions here. Like I said, that offensive line on the right side was a sieve, with Matt Pryor filling in at guard, and Vitae, who, he did an admirable job for Lane Johnson, who's a Pro Bowler. But against Jadeveon Clowney and the kind of stunt work that the Seahawks were doing on the defensive line, they put pressure on both Wentz and McCown tonight. So my hat's off to McCown just making it through the last minute of his game, because he got hit hard on several occasions. And I saw him after the game, and he was in severe pain.
Well, on the other side of the ball, Ross was pretty unstoppable, and they sacked Russell Wilson a number of times. And Russell Wilson, of course, as you mentioned, one of the most elusive quarterbacks going in the game today. So wasn't as if Seattle was holding the fort with the O-line that well either.
No, the Eagle defense played well. The Eagle defense, after the bye week this year, they came back and held the Patriots to 17 points. They held the Seahawks in the next game to 17 points. They held the Giants to 17 points twice. Jim Schwartz and the Eagle defense did an amazing job with a lot of injuries, especially at the cornerback position and at linebacker, a thin linebacker roster that it was to begin with. It didn't have much depth at linebacker at all this year, and it had a lot of guys hurt in the secondary. Schwartz and that defense, with the exception of the Miami game where they got burnt for 30-something points, and the Redskin game, which turned out to be a shootout, but especially at home, it was the magic number, Richard, was 17. 17 to the Pats, 17 to the Seahawks twice, 17 to the Giants twice, only 9 points from the Dallas Cowboys. So the Eagles really, when the book is written for this season, the defense did its job. But it's attrition. I mean, it was injury after injury after injury, the receiving core, and all the way down the offensive line on the right side, two guys gone. Zach Ertz, with a lacerated kidney, was playing in this game tonight. Even he went into the tent during this game. And then obviously the big piece, once you got Carson Wentz, who was really, dragging this team by its feet these last 4 weeks and getting them over the finish line. Once he got hurt, you could just feel the energy in the stadium just completely disappear.
Well, you mentioned Schwartz, and his name is one of the people that the Giants might be interested in as a head coach. What do you think of that?
Look, Jim Schwartz, for all the criticism that he got early in the year, with a defensive unit that also had guys like Derek Barnett out, Fletcher Cox early in the year not having a very good season, although he was very good late in the year, Vinnie Curry didn't start out very well, but he figured a way out to get this defense, especially at home, to play well. I would hate to lose Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he would be a catch for the New York Giants. He fits the Giant mold. I think he fits that mold much better than Pat Shurmur, who, by the way, let's remember, was the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles for one game back in 2016 against Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants on the final day of the season, a 35-30 Eagle win. and Coughlin got let go right after that. But Schwartz would be a viable candidate for any job. And if the Giants were to come, knocking the door and talking to him, I think they could do worse than a guy like Schwartz.
Yep, I would say so. Well, I mean, Jason Garrett now is out of a job in Dallas. And I don't know if you've been following it this weekend, how bizarre it was where Jerry Jones was actually interviewing other head coaches without telling people that Jason Garrett was out. Yeah, I guess he told Garrett because he was packing his stuff. But it was kind of bizarre the way that whole thing went down.
Yeah, I believe the contract is up on the 4-1 anyway, because now it's official.
15th,
but it was up
I
on
think
the
14th. It is, something like that. Yeah.
I always, in the back of my mind, and a lot of the guys whose opinion I trust, that people in the football media that were at the Eagle game today when we're discussing the Cowboys situation before the game, on more than one occasion I heard from guys whose opinion, it carries some weight, that they thought that the Cowboys might be waiting on Mike Zimmer of the Minnesota Vikings. And as soon as Zimmer came away with this win against the New Orleans Saints today, that idea went out the window. But there was a lot of people that thought that if Zimmer had lost today to the New Orleans Saints, that maybe he would have parted ways with the Vikings. And that is what really Jerry Jones was waiting, because his preferred candidate was Mike Zimmer.
Interesting that, you look at the Giants and the Jets, of course, in New York, and you go, geez, teams that get to the playoffs every year, perennially strong teams, and they want to fire their coach because they don't have success in the playoffs. It was like Andy Reid, in Philly, where he wasn't that successful in the playoffs, so they let him go. He goes to Kansas City, continues to have success, but, of course, still hasn't won the big one.
Yeah, there's a culture of winning that's been developed here, and Doug Peterson deserves a ton of credit, because this team could have thrown in the towel at any point during the season. This Eagle roster was ravaged by injury from
after the Miami game. I wrote them off after that game.
And Doug Peterson held this team together. Carson Wentz regained his confidence. I'll tell you exactly when it happened, Richard. It was the second half of the Monday night game against the Giants, after Eli had thrown those two touchdown passes in the first half of the game, and the Giants went into halftime leading the Eagles. I believe it was 17-3, more or less. So I know the Giants had 17 points, and Wentz brought his team back in the second half, knowing that if they had lost that game, all hope was gone. But it was Wentz to urge to tie the game, Wentz to urge to win the game in overtime. And that spurred Carson Wentz on to victories against the Redskins in FedEx Field down in Landover, then the win against the Dallas Cowboys. And then, I don't care how bad the Giants were, their record was, a division opponent, to beat a division opponent twice in the span of 20 days, because they played on December 9th and December 29th. You're talking about playing your division rival, your neighbor, twice in a span of 20 days and beat them twice, 34-17 and a week ago at the Meadowlands. That's not easy to do. You throw out the records when it's a rivalry like that. So give Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson a lot of credit. Peterson held this team together. It was really with popsicle sticks and Elmer's glue and some tape, but they were able to get this far at least, and they were in this game until a couple of maybe questionable Doug Peterson decisions. I've heard people say they should have kicked a field goal instead of gone for it on fourth down with about 4.5 minutes left, that there were a couple of times when they could have taken the 3 points and still had 3 timeouts after the 2-minute warning. Having said that, on fourth down, they went for it twice. They failed. He's a riverboat gambler. They had been perfect on fourth down, 4-for-4, going for it on fourth down in the postseason in the Doug Peterson era. Now, mind you, that was a lot of Nick Foles and not Josh McCown. But Peterson is a risk taker, and I think around these parts, they'd rather take the risk, go for the win, than try to play it safe.
Well, I said at the top of the show that I thought Belichick punting with 3.5 minutes left and giving Tennessee the ball and not getting it back until there were like 8 seconds left was a mistake. I mean, I think sometimes you have to go for it on fourth down when the clock's ticking down and not let your opponent have the ball. And, if you don't make it, okay.
Yeah,
they get it.
I agree. And to give the ball back to Russell Wilson, who had been making play after play after play on third down, and big-time third down conversions. Not third and two, third and three. You're talking third and 19, third and 11, third and nine. Wilson was connecting with Metcalf, who, by the way, was on the board when the Eagles picked J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford as the receiver. They bypassed Metcalf, and it came back to bite him tonight. But Russell Wilson was converting big-time third downs one after the other after the other. I believe he ended up 8 for 15 on third down, and a lot of them over 10 yards. That when you have that chance, a fourth and three, a fourth and four, I agree with Doug. A lot of people question it. I don't. I think it was the right move to go for it.
Absolutely. Out of time, Ricky, but thanks so much for joining us, and get ready for pitchers and catchers. Look forward to talking to you during baseball season.
Richard, the next time we speak will probably be on a Saturday morning from Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, with the Yankees, who I think are going to win between 110 and 120 games this year. We'll see.
From your lips to God's ears.
Okay. Ricky Ricardo, play-by-play with the Eagles, and of course does the Spanish language ones for the Yankees.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.